We present that nationally known... Oh, goodness. What's this? Some character seems to be walking right out on the stage.
Hi, this is Keith, your host, and it's time for the Retro Radio Podcast.
Why, shucks. He's the roughest, toughest, two-fisted slugger that
I... Oh, McGee, I wish you wouldn't run around with people like that.
The Retro Radio Podcast. Always family-friendly, always good, clean fun.
I know, but they'll improve when I start whipping them into shape.
It's the place where new tech meets old tech and likes it.
I can't believe it. It's amazing.
Now located at retro-otr.com. Visit us today and leave us a comment. Email us feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience.
Our feature today will be an assortment of clips as a tribute to the Marx Brothers.
But first up, here's Keith and David with important podcast updates.
Hello everybody, I'm David, and here's Keith.
We have a pretty good lineup standing by in the wings for the next few weeks and months coming up. I have a show that hasn't really been done a lot on old-time radio podcasts, and it's kind of a neat one. It's actually produced by the BBC way back in the early 90s, and it is actually Marx Brothers remakes.
Yes, and our show today will feature clips from it.
The reason they have to be remakes is because these old original shows just no longer exist, and all that remains is a script, and that's it.
And even the collection of scripts was unknown until they turned up in 1988.
Back in the early 90s, they had hired actors to recreate the characters and do the parts, and they do a really good job. And so I thought I would gather up the few I have in my collection, which actually should run for a few months if I parse them out once a week or so.
What else is new for our podcast at retro-otr.com?
I also have a collection of My Friend Irma. Most of the shows that still exist are from the 1948-49 season, but still they're kind of sparse. So I thought I would gather together a few shows from odd seasons and sprinkle them in to have a consistent run of that series coming up. And what else do we have out there standing by? My Favorite Husband will be starting up here, and that'll run for a while. We're getting some more suspense shows in, starting up some more Lux Radio Theater, and all the usual standbys, of course.
And if listeners find that one of their favorite shows have dropped away,
you know what to do. Contact me and let me know about it. Oh yeah, we also have... What was the other one I just put on there? You Are There. You Are There will start up again very soon. And so that's podcast updates. So please stand by and enjoy, because it'll be a real fun few weeks or a few months coming up.
To find all the shows Keith talked about, make sure to visit retro-otr.com for the entire lineup.
The original show of Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel that ran in the early 1930s has only one complete episode that remains.
There are also two show fragments. Here's one of them now.
I'm not interested in your stupid looking dress.
Well, that'll take a lot of headlines. Lady, you've got to stop your complaints.
I don't like the way you're driving this car, young man. Have you got a driver's license?
Well, they said they'd give me one.
Oh, you haven't got one now?
No, I don't know how to drive yet.
Oh, I never heard of such a thing.
Lady, you're talking so much. Is that a way to talk to a lady? Don't you know that you must always be polite to the inferior sex?
I never have been so good in my life.
Shut your mouth, madam. You talk too much. That's just what I said, boss. I know you did, everybody, but you didn't say please.
Oh, I'm getting sick and tired of this. He came out on this typical sightseeing, and you haven't told us a thing.
Hey, you just told me to shut up. What more do you want? All right, madam, anything to keep you quiet. You see that big building over there?
No, where?
The one on your left with the tall chimneys and the big doorway?
Oh, yes, 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 I see it now. What is it?
I have the faintest idea. I'm Dame. Can't you stop those buses up and out? No, there's a sign over there that says no bumpers.
A classic.
Next up is part of an interview from a BBC television show. You'll get a feel for the quality of the remakes that we are going to feature.
Plus interviews with the actors behind Groucho and Chico.
A sensible song while I'm knitting my bulldog a beard.
Sure, I'm a singer, you're a sensible song. Kill all the cows, she come home. And I'm a singer in algebra too. Hey, bet you like it plenty much, cause I make it rhyme.
I know it is.
I'm a sing all about chicken the soup. It's a taste good when it's a fry. I'm a crooner, nice a tune about my bunions. And my uncle used to do impressions of onions. I'm a singer, you're a sensible song, cause I ain't been well since I died.
Yes, sing a song that's sensible, and having written, move on. For Ganga Din is paradise, and now. On the Avon, quote the raven, up like thunder comes the dawn. A loaf of bread, an eye of newt, and thou. Yes, you're mighty like a rose, but only God can make a tree. By the shores of Gitche Gumee will be won. Said Dan McGrew, oh, come into the garden, Maud, with me. And if you can, you'll be a man, my son. Please won't you sing me a sensible song, one that's matured in old kicks. Sing about teaching your walrus to drown, all for one and three for five and two hard-boiled eggs. Make that three hard-boiled eggs. Song, won't you please me a singable sense, let every fed block uncoil. Vocalize about the cries of molecules mating.
Yodel, tucci, fucci, I secrete through a grating.
Sense what you song me, a pleasurable sing, cause my oyster's expecting a foil.
So it's fly of the kite.
Break into jail.
Kick me good night.
Do you inhale?
Oh, drop of that gun.
Let him eat bread.
Page 21.
Bring out your dead. So put on your open-toed boots and sarong and sing me a sensible.
I'm a singer, you sensible.
Sit on the fensible.
Nervous and pensible.
Shillings and pensible.
Locked in the gensible.
Sing me a sensible song.
Sit down.
Hey, boss, that's some shirt he's got there, huh?
Oh, I'll have a chocolate malted, please. This is very small.
Yeah.
Gentlemen.
Hey, what call this gentleman. That's pretty good.
What?
He's really from cue cards, folks. Ignore him.
What do you think it is about the Marx Brothers that's made their humor so enduring?
Well, I think it's because they're funny.
I think that probably helps.
Yeah, they're funny, don't you think so?
And they're dead. There's nothing better than people who are funny and dead. Look at us. Look at him. Noel, tell me, is your mother French?
No.
Then why does she call you Noel and not Christmas Edmonds? Just imagine if you'd been Jewish, they could have called you Hanukkah Edmonds. And if you'd gone to a Jewish wedding, you could have thrown Hanukkah rice. If that's your idea of a good time. But you were saying.
I'm finding this very difficult. I've got to ask one of you to step out of character, please.
Well, allow me. There
Thank
we are.
You. Thank you, Frank. Now, for how long have you been Marx Brothers addicts?
Well, really since, oh, God, I can't work this out in time, but since a brilliant Marx Brothers addict called Dick Vosper wrote a Marx Brothers show called A Day in Hollywood, A Night in the Ukraine, that I wrote the music for as well. And Michael and I played Groucho and Chico when we did it at the Edinburgh Festival. And since then, we've kind of been brothers inextricably. And it's led to our being in a wonderful radio series for Radio 4 called Flywheel, Shyster and Flywheel, which is a recreation of a genuine Marx Brothers show from 1932. And folks, if you're listening in July to Radio 4 on Saturday mornings, you can hear the third series of Flywheel, Shyster and Flywheel.
Are you capable of dressing up like that, a remarkable likeness, and not doing the voice?
No. That's why I'm keeping the voice up, folks. I'm really a nice Jewish kid from Tottenham, but if you think I'm going to talk like that with this on, you're mistaken. Catch me later.
The thing is that when we are actually playing the Marx Brothers, we do feel like addicts because we feel we have a real responsibility to perpetuate the image of Groucho and Chico. And if Harper were here to perpetuate the image of Harper.
Yeah. I mean, he'd have a lot to say.
How do you feel about him? Because Groucho, the real Groucho was an acquired taste, wasn't it? I mean, a lot of people found this constant bombardment quite irritating.
I'm still acquiring the taste. It's coming.
What is it, cannibalism?
Are you ever aware, Groucho, of irritating people by your style of delivery?
Fortunately, constantly.
Fortunately, constantly.
I can't be right. Shouldn't that be constantly, fortunately?
It could be.
Take the addiction to the point that you collect memorabilia or any of the Marx Brothers tapes, scripts, or anything like that?
I collect members of the family.
Yeah.
When I was playing Chico in New York, I was very nervous, and there was a knock on my dressing room door, and I opened it, and this little lady stood there, and she threw open her arms, and she said, "Daddy!" And it was Chico's daughter, Maxine, and we've been very close friends ever since. I feel that I'm okay, because she's accepted me.
What did she make of him?
And I can't say. I'm in character now.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, she hasn't met me, fortunately for her.
Yes, that's good.
Gentlemen, the Addicts 12.
Oh, you kept them warm for us. Oh,
yes, I have indeed.
Okay.
I was wanting to make a nice impression for you. So, how much do you know about your heroes? Starting with, what were the first names of the Marx Brothers' parents?
They were Sam, who was also known as Frenchy, and Minnie. Those are our parents, huh?
Those are our parents, yeah, I seem to remember. Yeah.
How many children were there in the family?
There were five.
Sexes?
Occasionally, yeah.
Groucho sent a telegram to the exclusive Friars Club in Hollywood. What did it say?
It said, I refuse to belong to a club that would have me as a member. I understand the feeling, too, folks.
Which brother's real name is Leonard?
Ashami.
Yeah.
Chico. You know why he was called Chico?
No.
Because he chased the chicks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Asher the truth.
That's why he wanted to play this one.
What was the name of the influential New York drama critic whose rave review helped establish the Marx Brothers?
Alexander Wolcott.
Yep. What's a gookie?
Do you want to do one?
Well, I can try.
Okay.
It's a look that Harpo used to give. Something like... Something like that.
Yes. In what year did the Marx Brothers broadcast the original radio show Flywheel, Shyster and Flywheel?
1932.
Yep, I remember it as if it were yesterday.
What was the title of the boy's last film for Paramount?
Duck Soup.
Year?
33. I'm sorry, it's 33. Has it got 32 there?
Maybe it was January 33 and...
I can't remember. It was 70 years ago, folks. How could you remember when you left me a movie?
It was probably written in 32.
Written in 32.
What was Flywheel's reason for including the name Shyster in the name of his law firm?
Because Shyster was a character who ran off with his wife, so he put his name on the door as a token of his gratitude. You want to listen to the series, folks, if you like that joke. There's more like that.
The Marx Brothers' great Broadway successes were The Coconuts and Animal Crackers, which great American playwright worked on both scripts.
George S. Kaufman.
Correct. What are the names?
He knows his daughter as well. He collects Kaufman relatives,
too. That's true. I collect daughters.
What are the... Thank you. What are the names of the two lesser-known Marx Brothers?
Oh, Zeppo and Gummo.
Yeah, their real names?
Herbert and Milton.
Indeed. And finally, what was the name of Flywheel's secretary?
Miss Dimple.
Oh, well done. You are indeed Marx Brothers addicts.
Early radio shows often didn't use theme music.
In the early 1930s, the use of theme music was just beginning to spread.
The BBC productions use a theme that is a mix of songs that the Marx Brothers made famous.
In the only complete episode that remains, here's what the original music sounded like.
Monday night, it's comedy night in the Five-Star Theater. We're about to hear those Mad Marxists in another of their three-act comedies concerning the adventures of Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel, attorneys at law. Both are coming onto the platform now, dressed just as you remember them on stage and screen. Groucho with his little black mustache, red tie and frock coat, Chico and his curly hair, little green hat and corduroy coat. Our orchestra conductor, Leonard Joy, is lifting his stick, and the show is about to begin.
Here's the opening of a show we will be podcasting in its entirety in a couple of weeks.
The British Broadcasting Corporation, in association with the Five Star Theater, proudly presents the Marx Brothers in Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel.
This is a Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel. Miss Dimple speaking. No, Mr. Flywheel isn't in, but his assistant, Mr. Ravelli, is here. Hold on, I'll call him. Oh, Mr. Ravelli.
What do you want, Miss Dimp?
Mr. McBride, the landlord, is on the phone again. He seems pretty angry about the rent not being paid.
All right, I talked to him. Hello, landlord, how do you feel? What? You give us 2 days to pay the rent? That's a fine. We take it the 4th of July and Christmas. Goodbye.
I think you insulted him.
I can't bother with him. I'm a tired. I must feel sick.
Oh, you probably have a cold. You should go home and get straight into bed with a hot water bottle.
That's no good. Last night I put some water in a hot water bottle and I wait and I wait, but the water didn't even get warm.
Maybe you should see a doctor.
I've seen a doctor. He gave me some medicine to take with my meals, but I can't take it.
Why not?
I ain't getting no meals.
Well, if you're hungry, I can give you this quarter. It's all I have with me, so make sure you get something to eat. Don't spend it on the movies.
Don't worry, Miss Dimp. I won't spend your money for the movies. I got us some money for the movies.
Good morning, Mr. Flywheel.
Never mind the small talk. Ravelli, I've got a bone to pick with you. I died for it with a dog outside the butcher's. Well, it was the least I could do after you brought that hamburger in last week.
Then can I have my quarter back, Mr. Ravelli?
Quarter? Miss Dimple, I'm paying you too much. Now, Ravelli, where were you all yesterday? You didn't come into the office once.
I was chasing ice wagons. Now I got a cold.
Ice wagons? I thought I told you to chase ambulances.
Yeah, but they go too fast for me.
Well, this is a fine how-do-you-do. One of the finest how-do-you-dos I've ever seen.
How do you like it to give me some salary?
Oh, you want salary? And we haven't even got olives. Listen, Ravelli, unless you get me some clients, we're going to get thrown out of here pretty soon.
That's all right. I don't like the place very much anyhow.
You'll like the poorhouse even less.
Yeah, but maybe somebody there can lend us some money.
You still don't get it, do you? We're threatened with eviction and a landlord that has the quaint idea that we should pay him some rent every once in a while.
Hey, you no worry about the landlord. I fix him good. He no bother us no more.
Ah, Mr. Flywheel, I think you know who I am.
Mother! Oh, I knew you'd never give up looking for me. Those gypsies were so cruel.
Mr. Flywheel, I am not your mother. You know very well I'm Mr. McBride, your landlord. I told this assistant of yours you had 2 days to pay the rent. He told me he'd take the 4th of July and Christmas. Now, I want to know what you intend doing about it.
You're right, McBride. He had no right to say such a thing. We always go away Christmas. But we have Washington's birthday instead.
Now listen to me, Flywheel. I came here on Tuesday to ask for the rent. I came here Thursday to ask for the rent. I even came here Saturday to ask for the rent. We've got to come to some arrangement.
I don't come Wednesdays. I'm not in then either.
No, some definite arrangement.
Okay, I definitely won't pay the rent.
But you have no excuse for not paying.
Well, it isn't my fault. I tried to think of an excuse. Oh, all this talk about money is making me tired. I'm different. I don't care how much money a man has, just as long as he's rich.
What has that got to do with paying my rent?
I give up. Now it's my turn to ask you one. What's a two-letter word meaning a piece of office furniture?
I don't see...
Desk.
Desk? But there are more than two letters in desk.
There are only two letters in my desk. All the ones from you I tore up.
Are you crazy?
Don't you do anything but ask questions? Don't you know any other games? I'll tell you what. You go out in the hall and hide, and I'll bet you 10-1 we won't find you. I'll bet you 20-1 we don't even look for you.
I put up with all that I'm going to. You'll be hearing from me in due course.
Hey, you handle him fine, boss. Now we no go to the poorhouse.
Well, leastways, not till he gets back with the bailiffs. Times are desperate, Ravelli, and desperate times call for desperate measures. You're going to stand out in the street in front of this office and bring in a client if it kills you.
Hey, so you want I should stand out front and act like an advertisement for the firm?
Like I said, Ravelli, desperate times call for desperate measures.
Carry your lawyer here. Nice, fresh lawyer today. Carry your lawyer.
Can you direct me to 42nd Street in Times Square?
Sure I can. Right after you get a divorce. First, you're gonna need a lawyer.
But I don't want a divorce.
Then we just need a lawyer.
What do I need a lawyer for if I'm not getting a divorce?
Hey, 1 minute you want a divorce. Next minute you no want a divorce. Why don't you make up your mind?
Why? If I'm just trying to find 42nd Street in Times Square, would I want a divorce or a lawyer?
To pay the rent.
But my rent's paid.
That's fine. We move in with you.
Father would never have that.
Maybe you should divorce your father.
Divorce my father? I can't divorce anybody. I won't even be married until August.
Hey, hey, hey. Ask settle then.
What is?
You get a divorce in September.
Oh, never mind. I'd rather get lost than waste any more time with you. Goodbye.
Anybody want a lawyer? Nice, a fresh lawyer.
You there. I am in need of a legal representation.
Well, go someplace else. All I got's a lawyer.
My name is Reginald Francis, and I do indeed require a lawyer.
All right, then. I take you up to the office. This way.
Ravelli, you did it. You got a client and didn't kill yourself doing it. I'm happy and sad all at the same time.
His name's Reginald Francis.
I am the leading man with the Shakespearean Repertory Company.
You don't say.
I wish to sue our manager for back salary.
Never mind that. How about a couple of passes for Saturday night show?
We'll discuss that later. Mr. Flywheel, if you can get the money the manager owes me, I'd be willing to pay you, well, let's say a tenth of whatever you collect.
That's not enough, boss. Make him give us at least a 20th.
We can discuss the terms later. Mr. Flywheel, our manager is a very slippery fellow. He is rather reluctant to part with money, especially a sum as large as $300. A sum outstanding to me.
Don't worry, Francis. Your $300 is as good as recovered. And our rent is as good as paid.
Splendid! Just how do you intend to approach him?
From behind with a blackjack. Now, you run along back to the theater, Francis.
I hope you'll be along shortly.
You can bet on it. And don't call me shortly.
Too kind.
Afternoon, Mr. Francis.
And a fine, good welcoming to you, Dorman. Pray tell, have the rehearsals started yet?
No, sir. I'm afraid there ain't going to be any rehearsals. The manager's run out of town.
What? And left us stranded, no doubt.
Yes, sir. Took the troupe's entire bankroll with him.
The scoundrel, as my leading lady had been told.
Miss Priscilla Kent, sir? Well, I believe so. Here she comes now, sir.
Reginald, have you heard the terrible news? What can we do?
Oh, don't fret, my sweet. My lawyer, Mr. Flywheel, is coming right over. I'm sure he'll be able to do something.
You two can't come in here.
Out of my way, I'll flog you within an inch of your life.
And when he gets through, I flog you the other inch.
No, Dorman! Dorman! Let them through! They're my attorneys! Oh, gentlemen, I'm so very glad you came. We're facing a very serious problem.
Well, that can wait. Who's the hot-looking babe?
Forgive me. This is our leading lady, Miss Priscilla Kent.
Reginald has been telling me all about you, Mr. Flywheel.
Well, he's a liar.
Why, I said you were a splendid lawyer and a fine gentleman.
You were right, boss. He is a liar.
Mr. Flywheel, we don't know what to do. The manager of our company has run out on us with all the money.
Well, that's very simple. Just charge it to running expenses.
But what, pray, are we going to do? The show is scheduled to open in 3 days. I'm counting on you to get us out of this mess.
Francis, I've thought it all over. The show must go on.
Oh, wonderful. What do you plan to do?
I don't plan to do anything. I just said the show must go on.
Do you gentlemen know what the name Reginald Francis means to the American theater?
Hey, I ask you one. Why do you look through to see through a brick wall?
But do you look through to see through it?
A window. That's a some joke, eh, boss?
Be quiet, Ravelli. I'm not paying you to interrupt my business conferences.
You don't pay me to do nothing.
And you do nothing. That makes us even.
Our immediate problems would be solved, Mr. Flywheel, if you could find the right man to take over the show and manage it.
Does Miss Kent go with the show?
No, why, yes, of course.
Then I'm just the man I'm looking for. Ravelli, as of now, we're in show business.
Hey!
Well, as long as you're going to take over the show, I think we ought to get busy. You know, we're presenting Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet? Hey, I thought we were doing just the one show.
Romeo and Juliet is the title of the play.
Well, now that you come to mention it, I don't care much for that title either. Why not call it Grand Hotel? They're using that name on another play, and it's cleaning up.
Oh, that's preposterous.
All right, then. How about Mickey Mouse? That's a very good name.
Mickey Mouse? We are presenting a classic. It's important. It's big.
It's fine. We call it Mickey Rat.
The title is Romeo and Juliet. I have a copy of it here.
Let's see. What's this? It says balcony scene.
Of course. That's the famous balcony scene.
Oh, fine business. See here, Francis, while I'm running this company, you'll do your acting on stage. Leave the balcony for the customers.
But, Mr. Flywheel, Reginald and I have always played that scene.
All right, you can play it in the balcony, but the ham will have to play it on stage.
Why not? Keep it under your hat, but I'll be up there in the balcony with you.
Well, reserve me 2 seats in the balcony for the opening night.
Ah, you don't want to see it, boss. It's a crazy play.
Well, with some fixing up here and there, I may be able to make something out of it. I'll read a few lines. And yet I wish for but the thing I have. My bounty is as boundless as the sea.
I know the answer to that one, boss. It's a window.
Quiet, Ravelli, I'm reading. You wouldn't understand. My bounty is as boundless as the sea. My love as deep. The more I give thee, the more I have, for both are infinite. Well, that can go. That doesn't make sense. Francis, run out and get me some scissors.
Hey, boss, that's a better show.
What's a better show?
Julius Scissors.
Don't worry, we can cut that one as well, folks.
Gentlemen, your proposals are out of the question. The play will go on as Shakespeare intended.
With this love scene? Even you ought to realize it needs something to jazz it up a little.
But
leave it to Flywheel. As soon as the scene begins to sag, I'll come out and announce the election returns. That always gets applause.
Oh, these strange proceedings are beginning to upset me. I'm going to my room. I must rest.
Well, that's fine. You go with him, Ravelli. I'm going to stay and rehearse Miss Kemp in the love scene. Eh, Miss Kemp?
Okay, boss, I go. But remember, tomorrow it's my turn to rehearse Miss Kemp. Come on, Shakespeare.
Very well. Lead the way, if you would.
Mr. Flywheel, in all my career, I have
okay,
never...
Okay, he's gone. We can cut out the shop talk. How about you and I running over to your house for a nice little dinner?
My house?
Well, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me.
Mr. Flywheel, please. I might as well tell you right now, I'm in love. I'm in love with the handsomest, sweetest, most talented man in the whole world.
And I like you, too. Miss Kent, I've got something for you. It's a ring. I got it from the nose of a savage, so it ought to look well on you.
Mr. Flywheel, I can't accept your ring.
You mean there's another man?
Why... Yes.
Tell me. I must know. Who is he?
Why do you want to know? You won't harm him, will you?
Of course not. I just want to sell him the ring.
Mr. Flywheel, our relations must be strictly businesslike.
You keep my relations out of this. You needn't be so uppity with me. You know, I can marry anybody I please. The only trouble is I don't please anybody.
We still have a couple minutes left, so here's a number that Groucho did with a few friends probably in the 1940s or 50s.
Blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread makes you live so long you wish you were dead. You add some yogurt and you'll be well fed with blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread.
My grandpa's older than the old gray mare. He sits a-rockin' in his rocking chair. But now he's got a smile that he can't lose. Grandma's sitting knitting baby's shoes.
From eating blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread makes you live so long you wish you were dead. You add some yogurt and you'll be well fed with blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread.
I gave up cherry pie and T-bone steak, chicken fricassee and ice cream cake. I don't need vitamins or pills at all. I even mix it with my hat of call.
I'm eating blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread. Makes you live so long you wish you were dead. You add some yogurt and you'll be well fed with the backstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread.
My nerves were jumpy and I'd walk the floor. I never got to sleep till after four. But since I'm eating right, I feel okay. I'm sleeping every night and half the day from
I'm eating blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread.
From eating
blackstrap so long you wish you were dead.
From eating
you add some yogurt and you'll be well fed.
From eating
blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread.
Inka dinka, inka dinka, inka dinka doo.
Now I was thinner than a pencil line, had no muscles and I had no spine. But now I'm friskier than a pup. All you have to do is prop me up. Just feed me
blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread. Makes you live so long you wish you were dead. You add some yogurt and you'll be well fed with blackstrap molasses and the wheat germ bread.
Know a fella who is 92.
Doctors told the guy that he was through.
But now that the doctor has been proven wrong,
he's got more a hop in him than hop along.
From eating black stuff, molasses, and the wheat bread, makes you live so long you wish you were dead. You add some yogurt and you'll be well fed with the black stuff, molasses, and the wheat bread.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.